We have the sacrament. We have the Bible, the Word of God. Never returns void. What a gift. Christ is always the answer. We are women encouraging and equipping women to universally and uniquely serve Christ in their feminine vocation.
By embracing joy, laughter, freedom, and friendship, we are seeking to thrive in the trenches of our domestic churches.
Welcome to Thriving in the Trenches podcast. This is Becky Carter.
And this is Megan Schreiber. You're listening to episode number 29, Lead the Conversation. This is a follow-up to last week's podcast with our dynamic guest, Emily Stimson Chapman, where we discussed the feminine body image.
And parties. And food.
And parties. Who doesn't want to do that?
And parties. Can we just talk about parties?
No, I'm waiting for the invitation. To get to her place.
I know. Well, she gave the invitation.
She did.
We just can't
show up early, remember.
Unless we're showing up with martinis.
This is true. No, she was so much fun. And, I love just her candor and her openness. Mm-hmm. It was great. It was really great. And I know this is the part of our podcast where we get to talk about some of the feedback that we've heard from you, our listeners, maybe comments, feedback, suggestions, critiques. And then we just kind of expound on that and flesh that out a little bit more. And Becky, I think you have one particular important point that came from a listener, an anonymous listener.
Yeah. I mean, well, I will say that we had several who were so excited to see Emily as a guest. And one gal said, "Oh, you have all my favorite people. I'm so excited." And so she was a very well-received guest and people were excited to hear from her. So I don't have anything written that I can really lay it out there on how she talked about it. But so this listener really caught on to, you know, kind of the flip side of our bodies. You know, typically, I think women are known for being self-conscious. They're known for not feeling comfortable in their own skin. And you made a comment in the podcast about, well, you know what, you've never struggled with your weight and you're an athlete and you've always had a well-defined body that, you know, men might find attractive. And you use that in a way that was probably not, I don't know, how do I say that, Megan? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, because it was really making me sound really arrogant. No, I'm just kidding. But it was. No, I didn't want to place it like that, like, oh, I've never had a problem and I've never. It was more of just this sense that, like, you guys really suffered in a pretty different way. I mean, both of you guys, I admire you guys both so much for speaking into that and being able to really share that. And I was fortunate to not, you know, suffer to the degree that both of you have, but there's a flip side to that. And that's kind of what I was getting at was, you know, I didn't struggle with people saying rude comments to me and criticize the way I looked. They said so many comments complimenting the way I looked that just went in the other direction. Like, oh, wow, this can be used, you know, this can be, I hate to say like used to manipulate, but you know, yeah, in a young, early, late teens mind or young adult's mind, if you keep being told that it's a commodity, you kind of start using it as a currency.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's a great way of putting it. And you said, well, they weren't saying anything rude, but if they were using language that degraded you as a woman, as a beautiful woman, and only took you down to a sexual object, then that is still rude. And I think we need to point that out. Mm-hmm. That language is still not okay. You know, being criticized that you're not at quote unquote standard, somebody's, society's, whatever we're supposed to look like. If you're not being criticized for that, but you're being heralded because of the the beauty with that underlying such sexual tone, mm-hmm. then that's rude too.
Exactly. I also want to say that, you know, it wasn't so much overtly sexual. That's the thing that I think is really dangerous, maybe. You know, it wasn't these overtly sexual comments. It was just a hyper focus on the exterior. Even mm-hmm. if it was just commenting, I don't know. It just, you know, it just got to the place where you were like, oh, I'm so much more than whatever you're seeing on the outside. There's mm-hmm. something so much deeper. And of course, that's, interestingly enough, that's always the issue with pornography, right? Is that it's not right. that you see too much, it's that you see too little. And what are we talking about? It's that seeing too little of the person, right? Of the person's right. soul. Like, so, you know, even if, you know, a guy just said, wow, you're really beautiful. Like sometimes it would bother me. Like, I'm like, okay, hi, my name's Megan. Like, could we, like, I don't know, have some sort of a baseline that's beyond, like, I'm a human. I don't know, you know?
Right.
So even there was even some level that it wasn't always just this hypersexualization, but just a disordered recognition mm-hmm. of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the beauty of our Catholic faith is that we live in a paradigm of the both and. And so recognizing someone's beauty on the outside is not in and of itself bad. But if that's the only thing you are seeing and you're not seeing on the inside, the both and, then you're missing out on the true nature of that person. And the nature, our nature is that we are God's child. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way we can be beautiful is because right. of his gift.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. So this particular caller was just, I guess she would say she was excited in a way that we brought that to light because mm-hmm. so many times when we think about the feminine body image, maybe we, you know, in a struggle, we think that it just always has to be a negative issue. But some people struggle with the feminine body issue in maybe to whatever, to somebody else would seem like a positive thing. But at the end, it's still essentially the same problem, and that is a fixation on one component of a person.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if we are focusing on the outside more than we're focusing on the inside, then we have a skewed view of self. And it does become about controlling our bodies, mm-hmm. not caring for them. And, again, if anything sticks out to me in that conversation, that's what it is. That and her admission that the Eucharist is truly what healed her from her eating disorder.
That's right. Just amazing. The healing. That's just an incredible healing that we have gifted to us on such a regular basis. And do we get our arms around it and our heart around it to the level that could be life-changing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, working with God's grace. So communion is a source of sanctifying grace, which means that it is given to us to grow in holiness. To become sanctified means to become holy, sancta. And it's something I've kind of really tried to work through in my own mind is, am I open to that grace? Mm. Because God is a gentleman. I've heard this. It took me a while to really wrap my mind around it after I came back to the faith. God is a gentleman. He is not going to force himself upon us. Therefore, to receive his sanctifying grace, we have to be open to it. Mm-hmm. And the other power of that is in the Eucharist, we are cleansed of all venial sins. And so to really meditate on that piece of the puzzle or that piece of our faith before communion really helps me get into that, Lord, I am a sinner. You know, there's a tradition in the church to say an act of contrition mm-hmm. just before you receive communion. I know that, Chris, but I have a great pastor who taught us that. And so I started practicing that, and it's that admission of sin. Mm-hmm. even if we can't feel full repentance, asking for the grace of repentance. And this is what should put us on our knees when we receive communion. And this is what should put us on our knees in our hearts, that I need you, Jesus. I need you to heal me. And really being open to his grace.
That's right. The power of his healing is so immense. I mean, you can just look at Emily's story and her struggle with an eating disorder that, you know, could have easily taken her life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think she, at some point, and perhaps it wasn't on our podcast, it may have been the journey home. I think she had talked about, gosh, she was she like under 90 pounds or something? I mean,
she was.
There was a moment too where, you know, seeing that scale go to zero would have been exciting, you know, which is just such a heartbreak. So.
Right. Well, her realization in that was, wait, Emily, what are you trying to do? And she realized that she was trying to disappear.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. Yeah. And, you know, I hear that and then I'm just like, dang it. You know, it's just the way the old boy always works. Always works. Mm-hmm. Because if he can conceal your identity as a daughter of Christ, how the heck are you going to ever be able to do God's will?
I don't know. Makes me want to punch him in the face.
Mm-hmm. That's why I love deliverance ministry.
Yeah, I know. Oh, and just the body of Christ and just people being willing to talk about their wounds. Mm-hmm. Candace, I can't remember if this was on our podcast. This is where I start realizing that I've listened to and read too much stuff because I can't remember where it came from. I do know it was Candace Duryea, though. I think it was on the podcast when we talked about healing the father wound. Mm-hmm. And we'd get onto the show notes for you guys. But in that, she talks about the wounds of Christ. That's and right. How they were visible.
Mm-hmm.
And how we need to make our wounds visible. And yes, this is done within... This has to be done with discernment. I want to say that this is not just a, hey, walk around, look at all my wounds, but what you are called to share, when you are called to share it, and how you are called to share it is definitely a personal issue. But that being willing to bear your wounds, like Emily feels like she is called to share her woundedness of an eating disorder. And look at how it's touching us. Mm-hmm. Look at how when the Lord healed her and said, Emily, this is not about controlling your body. This is about caring for your body. The Holy Spirit, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Love me enough, says the Lord, that you would care for my temple,
mm-hmm.
which is you. Because I love you enough to reside there, being willing to bear our wounds so others know that they are not alone. The lie only gets exasperated when we feel alone and that no one else understands us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To be affirmed is huge.
That's right. You know, and that piece that you're talking about on the lie is... When, you know, whenever we acknowledge or really whenever we believe the lie, we empower the liar.
Mm-hmm.
It's never God's authoring of that. That's almost that first step, is to just being able to recognize who the author is of these feelings or these thoughts that are coming in. You know, we talk about God being a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
He is not an accuser. Right. You know, I've said this kind of before. I actually was talking to a gal earlier this week, and I talked about this. I said, you know, sometimes we have to sit in the pain, and the hard part is discerning, is that pain coming from the old boy? Is that pain coming from God? I mean, in the end, God's always allowing whatever he's allowing, but sometimes it is initiated by the enemy, and sometimes it's initiated by the Lord. That's hard. That's a hard, you know, kind of discernment. Mm-hmm. For me, it's always been there's certain markers, right? And if God needs to discuss something with me, right? It's like I have this analogy of this, you know, he just kind of invites me in very tenderly, like, hey, sweetie, can we just sit down, you know, and there's two big comfortable chairs and I'm in one and he's in the other, and he just takes my hand and he's just kind of like, hey, you know, you're kind of messing up over here, right? Like just very gently illuminating something. You know, mm-hmm. the reverse is when I have that feeling, it's like, you know, I'm being shoved in a metal chair by my shoulders, slammed down. I've got a finger right in my face telling me I'm this and I'm that, and you messed up here and you messed up there. It's like, all right, like our Heavenly Father would never talk to me like that. So there's that mm-hmm. difference of being able to sit in the pain with our Lord and then to say, yes, I'm messing up. Like, where, what is it? You know, uproot this. And then obviously we've got the great grace of confession. But that's something to remember too, because, you know, those thoughts come, the lies, you know, sometimes this is where it gets tricky, is maybe the Lord is really saying, hey, sweetheart, you have an issue here, right? And we hear it and it stings our heart and we say, oh, that's just the old boy. I'm not giving into that. Right. And then we really actually don't address something that the Lord is just gently asking us to take a look at. So I don't know if those analogies help, but that's sometimes how it's been for me. The Lord is always gentle, even when he has to be difficult. He's always gentle.
Right.
And the enemy's always a jerk. Or as I like to say, a punk.
He's a punk. I'm going to punch him in the face. I think there's a meme about punching Satan in the face. Anyway, yeah, I tell my kids that all the time. I have one that it can get very down on herself, and she has been that child that's just kind of struggled through life, and so many ways, God bless her heart, because, you know, we haven't always responded well to her and those, and with compassion and our own weakness and our own woundedness. And I just didn't know what to do. And that brings about points of fear too, but that's a whole nother topic, whole nother conversation. Mm-hmm. But when my kids are hearing and believing things about themselves, then I tell them that. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus never accuses you of anything. That's Satan. So when God is speaking to you, though you may not like what he's saying, you will feel peaceful. You will still feel loved. Mostly you won't feel just awful, mm-hmm. bad, dirty, you know, all those negative feelings. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that brings up a good point. When we're talking about the feminine body image, and I am a mom of four daughters, I've got two boys, so they're, of course, you know, they can have their own issues too. This is not just a feminine issue. You know, we should probably also talk about what we can be saying to our daughters and having those conversations, and our sons, that are grounding them in the truth of their own body image. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I will say that, and you know, I say this with such caution, because I can remember when my children were little, people would say, oh gosh, your kids are so well behaved and they're so sweet. And I was kind of like, oh, thanks. But I hesitated, because I was like, oh my gosh, we're just a living experiment, right? I'm like, maybe when I'm 98, you can tell me that and I'll be like, yes, I did it. You know, I don't think we ever really get to that point, because we, you know, there's so much growth that has to happen. So I say this with, you know, the hope that we're doing things okay for our girls. But, you know, our girls are in a sport, and sadly, this sport can sometimes really have a body issue, because it has a lightweight category. And I can remember our oldest daughter was a lightweight rower. And by the way, it's a pretty ridiculous weight to be under when you're, I think it's like under 130. It is under 130. Well, for somebody 5'9", that's teeny. I mean, for somebody 5'1", it's probably pretty, you know, normal, I guess, but not when you're as tall as our girls are. And, I can remember, you know, they have to do these weigh-ins before a race, and she would always be right around 129. She have a couple pretzels. She's 131, right? Just this water retention. So like 2 days before weigh-in, she'd be like eating cucumbers and salsa for the weigh-in. You know, they get the weigh-in and then they go out for a big breakfast. And I remember looking at her in the kitchen and I'm like, I know you love the sport, but you're done. Like, you're either a heavyweight or you can hang up the sport altogether. Because you have to recognize, too, when there becomes just this focus on a number, on a scale, how quickly that can get really out of whack. And, you know, I don't want to say it's just for girls, because I'm sure that, you know, with boy sports, there's probably some of that going on as well. But praise God, she said, heck, I love the sport enough. I'm going to pack on some weight, you know. And she learned to do that and to love her body. And I think, you know, we always complimented our girls on their strength of their bodies, you know, not just, you know, we talk about them as the whole person, but when they're in a sport and taking care of themselves and taking care of their body as that temple of the Lord, I really think that focus helps and they grow in confidence as to how they are perceived in the eyes of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that's really, in the end, it's our hearts and focusing on that relationship with Christ, because when our kids go out in the world, and you know this better than I can even pretend to know it, all the lies, the deceiver, if they don't know that they're a child of God and that their true value is in Christ, and if they don't know how to talk to Jesus, how to have a relationship with Jesus, depending on him, trusting him. So when they say, Jesus, I trust in you, that they truly know how to practice it, at least practice, fake it till you make it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because God hears that prayer and he knows you're trying. But just having that firm foundation in who Christ is, mm-hmm. and who you are because of him.
Right. You know, it's so fascinating to me because I'm seeing this pattern in our shows, right? Whomever the guest is, whatever potential, say, issue we talk about, the antidote is always the same. It's the church. It's Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Jeepers. There shouldn't even be a self-help aisle at Barnes & Noble.
Right? Right. Yeah.
We have so much. We have so much.
Christ is always the answer. Mm-hmm. And we have the sacraments, and that's, wow. I mean, what a gift, what an encounter. We have the Bible, the Word of God, never returns void. What a gift.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but we also have Jesus. He's, one of his names is our friend. And so we should never feel alone because he is our friend. He knows suffering. He knows what it feels, temptation. You know, he understands us in the flesh because he took on flesh for us in the incarnation. So just remembering that Christ is always the answer, whether we are speaking with him on a one-on-one basis or if we are receiving him in the Eucharist to become one flesh, if we are receiving the grace from confession because we've slipped again. Just knowing that the mercy is always there for us. The mercy, the grace, like we have everything we need to feel like a whole person, wholly made in Christ, in God's image.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Am I preaching?
It's great. But you know what it's making me think of? And because you're usually our biblical scholar, if I could say that. No, but it's making me think of Isaiah. Now you're going to know what it is. Is it chapter 9, verse 6, I think it is, because I know those numbers. For a child will be born to us, and talks about, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Just brings me to that.
Mm. Well, hold on. I don't even know how to spell Isaiah. I don't look it up.
Come on.
Isaiah what? 6-9?
No, 9-6.
9-6. You know, we always camped out in the New Testament. This Old Testament stuff is new.
It's our history.
I know. I'm being a little silly. Yes, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and for forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
You know, I hear that Wonderful Counselor, and I just, oh my gosh, it just is like, oh, I've got a problem in the house. I'm just going to call in my counselor, right? Speed dial. We got him. Mm-hmm. Something in the marriage, something with negotiating with the teens, whatever it is. I mean, invite him into that and he will be the Wonderful Counselor.
Mm-hmm. And then let's throw a party.
Amen. Because hey, parties are good.
There was always a feast.
Yep.
There was always a feast in the Old Testament, the New Testament, every covenant was celebrated with a feast.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a feast coming up next week.
Yes.
Yes.
A feast of Thanksgiving. So yeah. Much to be thankful for.
So, so very much.
And you know, one of the things I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for
what?
You. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for this podcast. I'm thankful that we both said yes to a harebrained idea from the Holy Spirit, right?
It is still crazy.
I know.
I'm like, who are you, Megan? I've heard your name. I've not really met you, like, for real.
I know. And if our listeners don't know that, we've never been in the same room together. We've never seen each other in person. No. And we should probably record that when we actually do meet each other live, right? You know, I'll come to find out you're really like 4'9", and I like tower over you.
I'm not much more than 4'9".
Yeah, because we don't talk about these things. I don't know how tall you are. You look really tall on Skype. But, you know, I think it's kind of funny for our listeners to hear that, because this really did come together through a little yes, through, you know, like I said, really a crazy idea of the Holy Spirit. And when we see that we have listenership in all 50 states, and mm-hmm. we see we have listenership in over 28 countries, I cannot get my mind around that. But this is how he works, right? Mm-hmm. He just says, just say yes, buy the equipment and figure it out, and I'll do the rest. I mean, look at the guest we've had, too. I mean, look at the guest we've had. Who are we?
I know. I'm still claiming I'm just the girl in Arkansas in a closet, because that is who I am. Mm-hmm. I love that you go out in public and people are like, hey, wait, are you Megan Schreiber?
Yeah.
Well, I recognize your voice.
I've had that twice happen to me. So I know those two people are hearing me right now, and I have to tell you, it totally made my day. Two different occasions, two different scenarios, and someone said, I recognize your voice, which is really funny.
It is a good voice, Megan Schreiber.
Goodness gracious.
No, it is. You've got a great voice for, I don't know, what is this podcasting thing we're doing?
For sitting in closets and talking about Jesus Christ. And you know, we don't have to talk about Jesus Christ in a closet.
No.
It just happens to be where we record.
But. Yeah. That's in Numbers. It talks about you are to put the word, and you're supposed to think about God when you stand up, when you sit mm-hmm. down, when you do the dishes, when you go out and hang out with your friends, mm-hmm. and just that was a very loose modern interpretation of that scripture, but always in all things we should be filtering it all through our relationship with Jesus Christ and God's loving laws mm-hmm. that keep us safe and from harm.
Yes, exactly. So I have to say, I'm so thankful for our listeners. Yes. I really am. And I have to tell you, I've met some of them, I've met them online through the postings or, well, in some cases I've spoken to some of them, and just amazing people. And when I think of the body of Christ, from being to folks that we talked to in California and Texas and DC and Virginia, it's just, I just can't get my arms around it. It's just so humbling. And I talked to one particular gal and she thanked me like, oh, just, it was so great to talk to you about this. I really, really appreciate it. And I'm thinking, gosh, she gifted me way more. So at any rate, this week, as we head into Thanksgiving, I am so thankful, and I will be praying for all of our listeners, and you too, Becky.
Aw, that's nice of you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, I am so thankful for this gift of the body of Christ, because that's really what it feels like for me, is just coming alongside others and having them come alongside me. And we're sharing our stories and we're encouraging one another. You know, my favorite hashtag, if you follow any of our Instagram or Facebook's, you know, posts, and I typically hashtag women encouraging women, because my heart burns to see women encouraging women. We need each other. We're on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the same family.
That's right.
And there's no reason that one ministry should be over another ministry. One ministry should be counted better than another.
Right.
Because we all really need each other. We're all hitting a niche. What God has called you to do is where you're supposed to be. And right now, this is where God has called us. And I'm thankful for it. I've had a blast, to be perfectly honest. And never thought I would do it, but I'm thankful that we've had so much support and beautiful comments. Y'all, it really does spur us on when you leave nice comments and interact with us, because sometimes it can feel lonely in a closet when and kind of feel like you're speaking out into an empty space. So we really do appreciate it when you guys reach out and share with us how, you know, certain talks have touched you and helped you. And
right.
So we thank y'all for that. And I thank you, Megan, for all you've done, for your mad producing skills.
Skills you with a Z.
You make us sound so professional. So
You are kind. And for anybody who is looking to learn a new skill, you can still do it at the age of 48.
Just telling yourself.
It's all good. It's all good.
All right. Well, guys, we are so thankful for you all. And we're glad that you have joined us for another week here in the trenches. You can find show notes on thrivinginthetrenches.com. Please subscribe. Leave us a review on iTunes. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, where you can join the conversation. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming. Whoa, whoa.